So, Dhruv Maharaj came with material desires, but he attained a high level of pure devotional service. But Srila Prabhupada said, we have to give up all material desires. Yeah, the point is that Dhruv Maharaj came with material desires. But then becoming attracted to Krishna, he gave up those, in his consciousness, the material desires, they seemed insignificant to him. Srila Prabhupada often used to quote that, Swamin Krita Tusmi Varangnaya Che, that Dhruva Maharaj, after seeing the Lord, he said that Swamin Kritartha, that's another Kritartha. Kritartha means my purpose is fulfilled. And it's often translated as gratefulness. If you express, yes, my purpose is fulfilled. You have done. Thank you. No, that's Kritagya. I'm getting mixed up. Kritakritartha, one whose purpose is fulfilled. So, Swamin Kritartosmi. Well, in this context, it means, my purpose is fulfilled. I don't want, then he said, Varang Nayache, I don't want any other boon. So it's possible to approach Krishna with material desires and become completely purified and then only desire Krishna. Akamo sarva kamo va moksha kama udaridhihi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one is desireless, full of desires, or desires liberation from material existence, one should worship the Supreme Lord in intense devotional service. So this verse is often quoted by devotees who want to maintain material desires. They say, well, it's okay, I'll maintain my material desires and do bhakti. And you see, it says in Bhagavatam. But they forget the word tivrena, that one has to perform devotional service very intensely. And if we perform devotional service very intensely, then we'll automatically become free of material desires. But if we don't, and we think, okay, a little bit of this and a little bit of that, half for Krishna, half for me, or maybe 90% for me and 10% for Krishna, or even if it's 90% for Krishna, but we're still thinking I need to keep something in my back pocket, then we won't get pure devotional service. After Dhruva Maharaj realized that actually I wanted to get some material desire fulfilled, but the real thing is Krishna consciousness, he realized that. But still the Lord fulfilled his desire, his material desire. And then Dhruva Maharaj lamented. He said, I had this material desire, and now instead of just worshipping Krishna, I have to look after this whole big planet for such a long time.
Dhruva Maharaj வந்து வருத்த பண்றாரு. என்ன சொல்றாருனா வந்து இப்போ வந்து பெரிய பெரிய கிரகங்கள் இருக்கு, அதை வந்து நான் வந்து பராமரிக்கணும்.
So in his commentary on this, in the Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada says that the devotees, they should be free from material desires. So that you don't have to lament like Dhruva Maharaj. So it just makes a lot more sense to be free from material desires right from the beginning. And of course, it's also not guaranteed that by maintaining material desires, that we'll just somehow or other get pure devotional service. Again that word, tivra, intensity. Dhruva Maharaj, what was the intensity of his devotional service? He gave up eating, then he gave up drinking, then he gave up breathing. So, as Srila Prabhupada also commented in that section, he said it's not possible for people in the modern age to perform austerities like Dhruva Maharaj did. But the spirit should be the same, that determination in devotional service. Otherwise, if we think, if we think that I will maintain material desires and do bhakti, then we won't get free from the material desires. That attitude becomes an offense in devotional service, specifically the 10th offense against the holy name. Then it becomes a case of Bahu Janma Kare Jadi Shravan Kirtan Tabuta Napai Krishna Pade Premadan. We may go on many lives performing some kind of devotional service and not attain the love of Krishna, which is the artha, which is the desired result. So we may be doing shravan. We're hearing that material desires are anartha, they're an impediment. But somehow we rationalize that in our minds and think, well, anyway, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna is very merciful, whatever. Somehow or other, we hear, but it doesn't enter our heart because we've made an armor of our misunderstandings. So that it doesn't come through to our heart. Therefore, sadhu means one who cuts material attachments by his words. Okay, here comes that verse which I always miss. Always forget. Tatastu sanga udsrija. Satsu. I always forget it. Tatastu sanga udsrija. Sanda ivasya chindanti manovya sanga mukti bihi. I forgot the second line. Satsu. Anyway. Sajjaita buddhiman. Yeah, so the. One should intelligently understand the situation of this material world, that all endeavors for happiness simply result in misery. Tato du sangha, and then give up all kinds of bad association. And associate with pure devotees. This is intelligent. And the pure devotees, they will cut our mental phantasmagoria, our mundane attachments, by their harsh words. Very harsh words. Why are you attached? Why are you you're chanting Hare Krishna, but why are you holding on to all your material attachments? Painful. Operation is required. With no anesthetic. The anesthetic is chanting Hare Krishna. Anesthetic in actually it's bliss. But we take it as poison. So the conclusion is Prabhupada told us to give up material attachments because we have to give up material attachments. The person who comes, Artharthi, looking for something material, he also has to give up material attachments. He has to understand at some point that this desire for money is not the real thing. It's not that you can remain Artharthi and become someone who wants material wealth and become a pure devotee. Someone may be dovetailing their material desires. In the course of my wandering in the world in the last 40 years in Prabhupada's service, I've come across quite a few people who say, I'm building a big house, but it's for the service of the devotees. Because they understand, actually it's not very good to have a big house. But they're trying to present, it's not really a personal desire, but I'm doing it to serve the devotees. And they may do from time to time call the devotees and have a kirtan and this and that. So you can dovetail some material desire if it's some kind of material desire. But sometimes it becomes more of an excuse. Rationalization, yeah. The desire to have a big house for material reasons is much stronger than the desire to call the devotees and serve them. But you need some to show yourself as a devotee. You have to have a rationalization. So that desire is better that you build a big house for Krishna. As we see in Tamil Nadu, where your forefathers of your body came from, there are so many big temples. But we don't see big houses that people build for themselves. So that culture was there. That you build a big house for Krishna. In the West also, there are so many, if you go all over Europe, You'll find so many churches. You don't find houses. Ordinary people live very simply, actually. You see sometimes castles also that were built for the big rich people. Even now in America, that's still going on, building churches where you're from, the Bible Belt. There's so many churches in America. It's and new ones being built all the time, big, small, maybe just some hall like this, but they're going on building churches. So, build a house for Krishna, and then you'll get a house in the spiritual world. Build a house for yourself, and you'll get a house in the material world. Maybe some bird in a nest or something like this.
Ah.
Yes, please. You want to speak? Oh, actually, that won't work. Well, I'll have to repeat it. Well, you can speak
it.
Yeah, no, you can say it in there. That's okay. I'm just thinking for the recording purpose.
In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks of the param grispa, the higher taste. So what about devotees, myself included, who we have some taste for Krishna consciousness, some thirst to serve, still maybe some residual desires are there that we're even ashamed of, still we're a little weak. Do we just go on serving until we get the full higher taste and then understand that eventually they'll be swept away? Material desires eventually, I'm hoping that they will, we all hope that they'll be swept away by the higher taste, param grispa of service.
Yeah, that's the big question then, how to get free of the material desires. Go on with devotional service. Yeah, but we have to always try and intensify that also. There comes a point where physically it's difficult to intensify it. Just like the life you're leading now is, the whole day is only spent for Krishna consciousness. Someone who's a householder, they may try to minimize their family duties. They still have to be responsible. And then they have to give more time for Krishna, Krishna's service. But in your situation as a traveling, preaching Vanaprastha, still you have some family responsibility thing about your daughter and this and that, but basically you're full-time engaged in Krishna service. One thing is if one is sincerely trying to serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas, then definitely that those anartas which seem like insurmountable, by their mercy, we should have that faith, by their mercy, they'll bring us to them. Mm. But we shouldn't become complacent also. I don't know a word for complacent.
Hmm.
Actually, Nectar of Instruction says, Utsahan Nischaya Darya.
Oh, very good,
so
yeah.
We need enthusiasm and Darya, patience, simultaneously.
Yeah, we have to have patience. Be sincere, keep on going and keep on striving. Complacency means we stop striving. Any other questions there? Yeah, please.
Maharaj, you spoke about the Akinchana devotees. Srila Prabhupada uses the word unalloyed. And then he also contrasts those with the mixed devotees who are, as you said, they approach Krishna out of misery or out of a desire for money or out of curiosity or if they're in knowledge that Krishna is supreme. So, what are we? What category do we fall into if we're striving to serve Krishna? We want to love Krishna, but our anarthas are pulling us away from Krishna.
What category are we in? Are we the curious, the desire of wealth, the curious, or the knowledgeable? If we're striving to be pure devotees, but our anarthas are pulling us away from Krishna.
கேள்வி கேட்குறாங்க நீங்கள் அக்கிஞ்சன்னு இந்த வார்த்தையை பற்றி சொல்லுவீங்க அதாவது இந்த பகுதியில் ஆசைகள் இல்லாமல் ஒரு பக்தர்கள் சொன்னீங்க மற்றும் நான்கு பக்தர்கள் கலப்படம் இருக்கிற பக்தர்கள் சொன்னீங்க இது நான்கு விதமான பக்தர்கள் நிலையில் நாம் இருக்கோமா இது நாம் எந்த நிலையில் இப்போ இருக்கோம் அப்படின்னு கேட்குறாங்க
Anyone who is striving to be a pure devotee may be counted as a pure devotee.
யார் வந்து தூய பக்தி தொண்டை யார் தூய பக்தி தொண்டை வந்து முயற்சி செய்யறாங்களோ அவங்க தூய பக்தனா வந்து நம்ம ஏற்றுக்கொள்ளணும்
So in that case you could say that's like out of those four categories like the gyani one who knows what the goal is
இந்த நான்கு விதத்துல வந்து ஒரு ஞானி என்ற நிலையில எப்படி இருக்கறோ அந்த மாதிரி நிலையில நம்ம சொல்லலாம்
The example is given of an unripe coconut and a ripe coconut. It's just a matter of time before it becomes ripe. Of course, if sometimes coconut doesn't grow properly also, just from, have you seen that? It's just, it doesn't develop. It's small on the tree and it looks like it's going to grow, but it doesn't grow.
So,
there's a saying in jackfruit also. Sometimes you see jackfruit, when it's unripe, it's green. Then it becomes very big, still green. And then it becomes yellow on the outside and then it's ready to be used as a fruit. But sometimes when it's still very small, just this small, it becomes yellow on the outside. Then it's useless. So there's a saying in Bengali, echere paka, means it's small jackfruit has become ripe, means it's useless. It's gone too fast. We have to develop properly. So, anything else? Yeah.
Guru Maharaj, what is the difference between Vaishnava understanding and Mayavadi understanding of the, as you said, the meaning of everything is Krishna? they could also say this, we also say, what is the difference of our vision, that Artha mentioned?
Okay, say it in Tamil, if you can understand it. Yeah, I don't really understand the questions. Often when questions are asked about Mayavad, they're difficult to understand because Mayavad doesn't make any sense anyway. What is the question? Mayavadis will also say that Krishna is everything. Yeah. The meaning of everything is Krishna. Yeah, because they don't know what Krishna means, therefore they ascribe a wrong meaning. So often if we hear Mayavadis, it sounds like they're saying the right thing, but their understanding is something different. I've often related this, that I was at the Ardha Kumbh Mela in 1989, I think it was, in Prayag, Prayagraj, Allahabad as it's now called, unfortunately. So one time I thought, I'll go around the different pandals, all different groups, see what they're saying and doing. So there was one very big pandal with one Shankaracharya. I guess he was, I don't know where he's from. There are so many Shankaracharyas in North India, but maybe Varanasi is a very big one, or Puri, or whatever, some Shankaracharya. And he was talking about bhakti and giving the example of Draupadi, how first of all she was holding on to her cloth and then she fully surrendered to Krishna and then Krishna protected her. And I thought, wow, this is, sounds like pure devotion. He was talking about pure devotion. Then he finished his lecture by saying, and you have to realize that you are the same Supreme God, you are that. So, be careful of Mayavadis. What is the difference? They say Krishna, but they think that Krishna is a representation of the ultimate, which is of the absolute, which is ultimately impersonal. Jibe nishta lagi sutra koilo beas mayavad bhasha shunle hoy sarvanash. The Vedanta Sutra was compiled by Vyasadeva for saving the jivas, for uplifting them. But if we hear the Mayavadi explanation, it spoils everything. Then anything else?
Just one question from this morning. Whom did you quote when you said that Krishna is all attractive because he is supremely blissful?
Who did I quote when I said that Krishna is all attractive because he's supremely blissful? Shankaracharya, Adi Shankaracharya.
Krishna நீங்க யார வந்து மேற்கோள் காட்டுறீங்க அப்படின்னு கேட்கறாங்க. அதுக்கு பதில் என்ன சொல்றாங்கன்னா, சங்கராச்சாரியா வந்து ஆதிசங்கராச்சாரியா வந்து ஒரு
That means the Shankaracharya of how long ago is that? 1300 years ago, not the one that I saw in Allahabad. We respect them as sadhus. We don't subscribe to their philosophy. We're opposed to it.
Guru Maharaj, you said that we hear Mayavada, even if it sounds proper, then it's like milk touched by a snake. Then how we can accept some good things from Shankara, Prabhupada many times quote? Is this not milk touched by a snake?
கேள்வி என்னதுன்னா கேட்குறார், இப்போ மாயாவாதிகளுடைய பேச்செல்லாம் நான் கேட்கும்போது அது வந்து பாம்பு வந்து பாலை தொடும்போது எப்படி விஷமாகிறதோ அதே போல நீங்கள் சொல்கிறீங்க.
If Shankara says something good, we shouldn't accept it because it's like milk touched by the lips of a serpent. This is the proposition.
சங்கராச்சாரியர் சொல்றது கூட வந்து பால் வந்து ஒரு பாம்பு பால் பாம்பால் தொடும்போது எப்படி அந்த மாதிரி நிலை கிடையாதா?
Well, we should know that the Adi Shankara, as he's called, he's not a snake, he's a great devotee. When he says bhajagovindam, bhajagovindam, he means it. He's not just saying it as something on the lower level. His whole philosophy is based on word jugglery. But then he says, Bhajagovindam, 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 Murha Marthe. Samprapte Sanahite Kale, Nahi Nahi Rakshati Dukrin Karane. He says that, you foolish minded person, worship Govinda. And now the time of death is very close to you. So how will you be benefited simply by grammatical studies? So he was this. He said this when he was going in the streets of Varanasi. And he saw some aged man teaching grammar.
ஒரு வயதான நபர் வந்து இந்த மொழியை சொல்லிக் கொடுக்கிறார்.
He's on the verge of death and he's going on with life just teaching grammar.
மரண நேரத்தில் அவர் இலக்கணம் சொல்லிக் கொடுக்கிறார்.
Yeah, and now you're at the time of death and you worship Krishna.
உன்னுடைய மரணம் நெருங்கி விட்டது, நீ வந்து கிருஷ்ணரை வழிபாடு செய்.
So Shankara means that. He's not saying that as simply there is that idea of Mayavadis, that you do bhakti. Bhakti is for the ordinary people. So you do that. Then later you come to the platform of Gyan, when you realize that you are God. It's horrible even to say it, but I'm just saying what they say. Yeah, if there's something good, they say we can take it. For instance, if the Mayavadis come together and they want to do something to stop cow killing, which is what they do, we think that's very good. But it is a delicate issue because on the one hand we support many of the things that they support, but on the other hand we don't want to get too close to them because we're philosophically so much opposed. So it is a delicate issue.
அதனால ஒரு
I suppose you could say it's something like brothers in a family. They may fight each other, but when there's some family interests, then they come together. Something like that. When the Gandharvas, they defeated and they tied up, they captured all the Kauravas. Then the Pandavas, they fought with the Gandharvas. Because there are people. The Kauravas are our people. Actually, Pandavas are also Kauravas. They're also descended from Kuru.
அப்போ வந்து பாண்டவர்களும் வந்து ஒரு விதத்துல வந்து அந்த உதாரணத்தை கொடுக்கலாம் அவர்களும் வந்து கௌரவர்கள் தான் ஏன்னா அதே வம்சத்துல இருந்து அவர்களும் இருக்காங்க
So it is something we have to observe carefully how to be against them philosophically but at the same time we don't reject everything they have to say or do
நாம் எப்படியான நாம் ஜாக்கிரதையாக இருக்க வேண்டும் தத்துவ ரீதியாக நாம் வந்து எதிர்த்து இருக்கிறோம் அவர்களிடம் ஆனால் அவர்கள் செய்யக்கூடிய எல்லா விஷயங்களுக்கும் நாம் எதிர்ப்பு தெரிவிப்பது
கிடையாது
Their understanding is incomplete, but it's not only incomplete, it's also offensive.
அவர்களுடைய புரிந்து கொள்ளும் தன்மை வந்து முழுமையற்ற நிலையை மட்டும் கிடையாது அவர் வந்து ஒரு அபராதம் இருக்கக்கூடியவர்கள்
It's a mixed bag because there are different individuals. So I'm told this Chandrasekhar Endran, who was the famous Shankara of Kanchi, he was more inclined to Vishnu Bhakti than to Shiva. But the philosophy he speaks is just regular horrible Mayavad, which just hurts the heart of the devotees. In general, we should be very careful because it can be very bewildering, Mayavad. Mayavadam asachchastram prachannam bhudamuchyate mayaivavihita devi kalo brahmana rupina This Shiva tells Devi, his wife, that this Mayavad seems to be Shastra, but it's asat, it's the opposite, it's wrong. And that he will propagate it in the form of a Brahmana. So be careful. Very careful. Hare Krishna. So we'll finish this. Supposed to finish at 1 o'clock. It's now 1:30. Of course we started a little. Anyway. Hare Krishna. Finished for now.
Hare Krishna.
For the afternoon session then we can have some songs printed out. Is it possible? Or for tomorrow? There won't be much time tomorrow, we only have a morning session. I see some of the devotees here, they don't even know Jai Radha Madhava, so... Anyway, it's nice if they learn different songs. Tomorrow is the 400th anniversary of the completion of Chaitanya Charitamrita. We could sing Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Karo Mori. Something, I just noticed it. And I thought we'd missed it, because the date is given as the Panchami and the Krishna Paksha in Jyeshtha Mas. So according to our Gaurabdha calendar, that's already passed. But that's according to Sambat, Shakabda. So actually it's just coming. But we should, as a society, we should have celebrated it. It's a big thing. We should have made a big thing. Last year was the 100th disappearance anniversary of Bhaktivinoda, and we didn't do anything. We missed it. 2017 is the 1,000th anniversary of Ramanuja's appearance. So, we should do something.
They're doing a big facelift in Sri Lanka.
Facelift?
Renovation.
They're renovating everything, all the Gopurams, everything. That's the big celebration.
Sangskar is the Sanskrit word. Renovation.